Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 14, we were taught that too often as men go away from God, they seek a preacher that tells them how great they are. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Some of you have seen kids, maybe just those young teens, you know, and you try to warn them about things that lay ahead in their life and future, and oh no, they've got it figured out. That's not going to happen to them. And I've heard that many times over the years, and sure enough, it happens, and sometimes worse. And I've done that with young pastors and preachers I've tried to counsel with, talk to them. Oh no, that's not going to happen to me, and it happens. And you try to warn them, they just look at you some kind of an old fuddy-duddy or somebody that's just jealous that you're not as young and as talented as they are. And I, you know what, I might be a little bit jealous that I'm not as young as they are. I don't worry about the talent. I just use what God gives me. But boy, that age, you know, I'd like to have what I know now and be able to have that youth to carry it all out. But that's just the way of the flesh, and we understand that. And Saul, however, he seems to be that kind of a person. And he just lacks wisdom. It helps us understand why his father sent a servant with him when he went looking for the lost animals. Now, if anyone needs to lean on the Lord Jesus instead of self, it is Saul. But this is not an attack on Saul, because I'll tell you, more so than Saul, myself particularly, but all of us, in all of our ways, we need to acknowledge him and lean not into our own understanding. Because if we do, we'll end up as Saul did. Now, we notice here in verse 3 that Saul promotes his own priest. Notice there again, and Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Now, isn't it interesting that here we look at the grandsons of Eli. Eli had those two wicked sons that were priests. Now his sons are the priest. And we can only hope that they didn't inherit the bad things from their parents and grandparents. But it was the wicked priesthood, Eli's sons. Instead of repenting about offering a sacrifice, he simply resolves not to make the same mistake. Samuel is the priest that was supposed to make this offering. But he's not there. Because Samuel admonishes him. And so, his idea is, well, I still want to have a priest. I still want to get this done. So I'm going to use one of these guys. He compromises the priesthood, getting him a man who will prophesy unto him smooth things and do his bidding. He doesn't want a preacher who preaches against sin and takes a strong doctrinal stand in these last days. And so we find that he's just going down, down, down. Now today, there are positive thinking ministries that never rebuke sin, worldliness, or the works of the flesh. Too many want a preacher who tickles their ears and does their bidding instead of the Lord's bidding. And it's a shame that Saul the king is this way. And yet, if you want to be under Holy Spirit preaching, you need to look in the Bible and see how the Holy Spirit works. John 16, 9 through 11 tells you that he convicts of sin, so the preaching must be about sin if it's spirit-filled preaching. He convicts of righteousness, that's obedience, the things you're supposed to do, and he convicts of judgment to come. Now, when preaching lacks any of those three things, or avoids one of those, or all of those, then you can count on it that that's preaching that is not of God. And so we see too many are just like that today. We don't need Saul's 600. As a matter of fact, Jonathan and his one man proves that. All they need is the power of God. And the work is going to be accomplished much more in one man with his armor bearer than 600 men with a king. And so we go on and read verses 6 through 10. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Boy, I tell you, that is a true servant. Boy, every pastor wishes that he had an assistant pastor and deacons and Sunday school teachers and members that have this kind of a heart. And my friend, if you're listening and you belong to a church, understand in the Lord, that's what you need to be to your pastor if he's a Bible preaching pastor. Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." Well, the servant with Jonathan, his armor bearer, has been told, "I'm going to discover myself to the garrison. It's just you and me." And an armor bearer goes with him. I think that's tremendous. So with this setting, let us now see more of a contrast or compare Saul and Jonathan. See, with Saul, there are three major things to see about this man who is supposedly a saved man. Saul does not seek the Lord. Now again, God wants man that is after his own heart and not seeking the applause of the world. As 1 John 2:15 states, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Why is that? Because the world, worldliness, is totally, utterly, unholy, and repulsive, and vile in God's sight. So if we're going to be a friend of the world, he considers us at enmity, that is, actively opposed to him and his enemy. Again, back in chapter 13, verse 4, and verses 11 and 12, we read this. He said there, "And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines, and the people were gathered together after Saul to Gilgal." And then verse 11 and 12, he says, "And Samuel said, what hast thou done? Saul said, because of Saul that the people were scattered from me, and thou camest not within the days appointed, and the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." Saul is thinking, "I'm going to do something religious. Boy, that'll bring victory if I do something religious." He's treating the law of God, the commandments of God, the offering, everything of God, as a rabbit's foot that gives him good luck. So he's concerned more for his own authority, his position, and his name than he is for the glory of God. too much ministry is spent trying to build a name for oneself instead of seeking God. We think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, my friend, this is saying, okay, now I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm not going to emulate the world. That's what conformed to the world means. The word conformed has the idea of seeing something on the outside, whether it's an object, whether it's a principle, whether it is a action, and trying to emulate it, and emulating it in your religion. That's the idea of the context of Romans 12, 2. And instead of being conformed to the world, trying to make your religion fit the world's ideals, he says, be transformed. Transformed comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which has the idea of a change that begins on the inside and works its way out. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Far too many people, you see, make a profession of faith. And as someone has said, they walk in the front door and walk out the back door. Well, if they're new creatures in Christ, they're not walking out the back door. If they're new creatures in Christ, there is a change that has taken place. Otherwise, they had a religious experience of Saul, but they didn't have the heart change of Jonathan. And so that's why today you see so many in religion, they try to emulate the world. They talk about their music. Hey, we got the top single. We've got the top group. We've got the top preacher. Hey, I've got the best book. And you got to read my book. I just wrote it. And you've got to take it. And it goes one after another just like that. I can remember I had a guest speaker in my church several years ago, and we had quite a few announcements to make. I hate announcements as much as the next guy, I guess, but announcements about upcoming events and things that needed to be taken care of. When he stood up, he went off on our church with me sitting there about announcements. You take all this time for announcements, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't know he was in that big a hurry to get out of there. Okay? I didn't know that just bothered him that he was in that big a hurry to get out. I figured he was going to preach his entire sermon. We didn't tell him not to. Didn't give him a time limit. And then after he blasted us, preached his sermon, and then when his sermon was over, he spent a good 5-10 minutes talking about his book that we should buy off his table. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.